Brothers and sisters, welcome to our worship service this afternoon. We also extend a warm welcome to all visitors who have joined us this afternoon for worship, either here in church or via the live stream. What a great blessing and privilege it is that we can come to church to be in the presence of God. May the preaching of the gospel direct our hearts and minds in faith and trust to our Saviour Jesus Christ and cause us to live our lives to the praise of Him. Consistory has the following announcements. Consistory as elders and deacons will meet the Lord willing this coming Monday evening in the consistory room at 8 p.m. You are advised that consistory likes to meet with the congregation on Monday the 10th of May. The topics for the evening will be China mission to be introduced by a few brothers from the Free Reformed Church of Kelmscott, as well as an introduction of Synod reports in preparation for Synod Albany to be held on the 14th of June. Brother Jaden Scott Wilstra from the Free Reformed Church of Darling Downs and Sister Hannah Perijan Jarian have indicated their intention to enter into the married state according to the ordinance of God. They desire to begin this holy state in the name of the Lord and to complete it to His glory. If no lawful objections are brought forward, the ceremony will take place, the Lord willing, on Friday the 28th of May at 1 p.m. in the Free Reformed Church of Darling Downs with Reverend Poppy officiating. This afternoon we welcome to our pulpit Reverend Poppy, and before we commence, let us sing from hymn 27, the verses 3 and 7.
Brothers and sisters, please rise and let's worship the Lord. As God's people, we confess that our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's now sing together a song of praise from Psalm 92, the verses 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
10 verse 9, we confess, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Let's together with the church of all times and places make a confession of our faith in God, and this afternoon we'll do it with the words of the Apostles' Creed as set to music in hymn 1. Now call upon God in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we believe that you are seated on the throne in heaven, and that from there you have all power and authority. We believe that Jesus Christ is seated with you, that you've entrusted your authority in him, and that he is accomplishing the work that you gave him to do. He's gathering his church. We understand that he sent his Holy Spirit down into this world in order to finish the work that he had begun, in order to apply his benefits to our account. Triune God, we praise you that you are so glorious, that you are so loving, that you are so powerful, that you will accomplish the work that you set out to do. We thank you, Father, that you're willing to listen to us. We come to you this afternoon, and we do so with great humility. We wish to ask you for your blessing. We've come together here this afternoon to worship you, to sing your praises, to confess your name, to give our thank offerings, to also pray to you. Most of all, Lord, we come here to listen to you, to listen to who you are and what you have to say to us. We pray now that with your Holy Spirit, that you would bless us, so that we worship you in ways that are truly pleasing to you. Most of all, Lord, we pray that we may open our hearts to you, that we may draw near to you, that we may seek your face. Help us not to be distracted. Rather, help us to listen to your word. And by means of your word, we pray that we may realize how rich we are to be your children. Father, we wish to thank you for the peace and freedom that we have to meet with you. Thank you that we have this ability There's so many other countries in the world that are profoundly affected by the coronavirus, other places where there's civil unrest. There's other places, Father, where their Christians are not able to meet together in peace and in freedom. And then we think what a privilege and what a blessing we have. We thank you for that. Thank you also, Lord, for the building that we have. Thank you for the opportunity for the musicians and for the musical instruments that we can use. Thank you for the sound system we get to use and the live stream that we have. Please use all these things and accept our thanks for all these things. And grant that by using these, that our worship may be pleasing in your sight. Please strengthen us with your word and spirit, and please grant us your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This afternoon I may preach God's word to you concerning the person and work of God the Holy Spirit. We're going to, in connection with this, we're first going to read a passage from Scripture from Romans 8, the verses 1 through 17. If you wish to read along, you can find that on page 1122 of your guest Bible. We read together Romans 8, starting at verse 1. This is the word of God. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemns sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. For if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. So far, the reading of Scripture. Let's now sing together. We're going to sing from Psalm 139, the verses 4, 8, and 9.
Thank you.
This afternoon I will preach to you the Word of God concerning the work, the person and work of God the Holy Spirit. We're going to consider the work of the Spirit as we find that in Scripture, and as that's also summarized for us in Lord's Day 20 of the Heidelberg Catechism. You can find that on page 534, your book of praise. Lord's Day 20, the heading there, God the Holy Spirit and our sanctification. What do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? First, he is together with the Father and the Son, true and eternal God. Second, he is also given to me to make me, by true faith, share in Christ and all his benefits, to comfort me and to remain with me forever. Then after the proclamation of the gospel, we're going to sing together from hymn 48, the verses 1, 3, and 4. Dear brothers and sisters, congregation loved by the Lord Jesus, are you living a good life? Are you pretty happy with the priorities that you're pursuing and the place that you're at in life? Maybe I could ask the question a little differently. You know, what would it take for you to have a good life? Is there anything that needs to be different than what you're currently doing? Now, if you were to ask that question of most people around you, chatting with someone at work or at uni or something, if I'm not mistaken, most people in our culture would define the good life through a lens of either achievements or acquisitions. Good life is the life where you're able to finish, to get done what you really want to get done. Lots of people find great joy in getting an education, or finding a good job, or starting a business, or renovating their house, or getting married, or having children, or whatever else they set their heart on. But others, they focus on stuff. They love going out with their friends. They love having dinner together with a group of friends. They put a huge amount of energy into making enough money to be able to buy the things that they'd love to buy, and to do the things that they want to do. And so in their world, you have a good life where you can do what you want, where you can go what you want, where you can be who you want. And you know, we've experienced all those things as God's people as well. There's a real joy in many of the good things in life. God doesn't call us to an ascetic life. He lets us enjoy these things. And that's really beautiful. But he also tells us that there's more to it. It's not just about what you have. It's not just about what you can accomplish. But he says the good life is the life where you know him. It's the life where you live in relationship with him and with the people around you. It's the life where you understand that God's the creator of this world and you appreciate his creation. It's a life where you realize that he's your redeemer, and that you look to him in faith and rely upon him, and where you have this relationship together with him. It's a life where deep down you're secure in the redemption that is given to you. And it's also a life that's lived in fellowship with the people around you. If you have peace in your heart, peace with God and peace with the people around you. If you love others, if you have hope for the future, if contentment within your heart, if you have gratitude, if you have a life of joy, well, these are the things that give the deep down good life. Well, the question becomes, how do you get there? How do you get to this point where you have those things, where you experience those things deeply and richly? What does it take for the gift of relationship with God or for the wonderful spiritual blessings in Christ? You know, often if I ask that question, the very next thing that I'll say is that I'll say it's through the Word. You need to read the Word of the Lord. It's when you read God's Word that you get to know who he is. You get to know what he's done for you. You get to have a relationship with him. You know, this afternoon, the answer is a little different. It's not just the Word, because in itself, the Word is powerless. But it's also the Spirit. It is by means of the Spirit of God that the Lord reveals himself to us. The Spirit's the one who gave us the Word in the first place. And the Spirit's the one who enables us to understand the Word. And the Spirit's the one who enables us to draw close to God in a relationship with him. It's only through his Spirit that we can understand who God is and what he's done for us, and that we have the ability to experience the beautiful things in life that he gives to his people. And so I preach God's word to you under this theme: God the Holy Spirit gives us new life in Christ. We're going to see in the first place the blessings of the Spirit, and then secondly, the calling of the Spirit. So what does the Spirit actually do? What happens if God gives his Spirit to his people? You know, if you want a dramatic example of that, you can think of what happened in Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. In the first place, when the Spirit was poured out, the very first impact of that is that we're told that these apostles had the ability to speak in other languages. They opened their mouths and they're able to preach the gospel to all these people who are in Jerusalem and to speak to each one of them in their own language. It was a stunning development. The people around them, they were amazed by that. Acts 2 verse 7 and verse 12. They were amazed, they were astonished, and they were perplexed. And it's quite something, because after the apostles preached to them, after Peter gave his sermon at Pentecost, they were told that many people were convicted and their lives were changed. Peter called them. He told them to repent and be baptized and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're told that many people did, 3,000 that day. They repented and they were baptized and received this gift of the Holy Spirit. And as soon as they received the gift of the Spirit, we're told about this profound impact that had on them and on the community and the fellowship that they had. It says that they met together at the temple, and they had this very generous spirit among them, where they all looked after each other and they praised God. And so what happens when you have the Spirit? Well, the Spirit does amazing things. These people, they're astonished. They're amazed. They're perplexed. It was unbelievable to have the Holy Spirit poured out on the church. It radically changed their lives and changed their perspectives. And you see that same thing continues. We read through the book of Acts. Acts 4. Peter and John are arrested. And after their arrest, they have to make their defense before the Sanhedrin. That's quite something. Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he testified to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he gave a defense of their actions. He proclaimed the good news of who Christ is. Well, the leaders of the Jews, they're astonished at the boldness of Peter and John, because they knew that these are just uneducated. These are common people. And so they're wondering, like, how does that happen? How do they get that ability to speak like that, to preach like that? That's quite a gift of the Spirit. Instead of being cowed into silence, they spoke with boldness and with conviction. In verse 23, after they're released, we're told that they went back to their friends and they reported all that had happened to them. That they prayed for the protection of the Lord and the ability to continue to speak the word with boldness. Verse 31 says, "And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness." And verse 33 says that with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that great grace was upon them all. It was a really unique time in the history of the church, brothers and sisters. The Holy Spirit was poured out after the ascension of Jesus Christ. And it gives us a sense of the work of the Spirit. He equips people to do the task that they're given to you to do. And so if you have the Spirit, if these men had the Spirit, they were able to preach boldly. They were able to testify to who God was and what he had done. You're able to assist many people to understand. Many people joined them. And then their hearts were changed. They had this profound spirit of love and kindness towards one another. We heard this morning the calling that we use our gifts in service of each other. Well, the early Christian church in Acts, they had a profound sense of that. And they live that out in their dealings with each other. And then you see a similar thing happening again in Acts 6. They were told how they needed deacons, and they chose this man Stephen, a man full of grace and power, who was doing great signs and wonders among the people. And then Acts 6 verse 9, it tells us how certain men rose up and disputed with Stephen. And then it says, they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. They couldn't stand against him. When he preached, they were speechless. They had nothing to say because of his wisdom and because of the work of the Spirit within him. A little later in Acts 6, we're told how they slandered Stephen in an attempt to get rid of him. And it's actually really, it's quite an amazing thing what God did in that moment for Stephen. Acts 6:15, and gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. He looked like one of the angels of God as he declared the word to them. The next chapter goes on. It tells us about how he condemned them for murdering the righteous one. They got to the stage where they're about to kill him for that. But then Acts 7:55, but he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. This man is filled with the Spirit, so he does these amazing signs and wonders among the people. He preaches the gospel to these people, and no one can refute him. They can't stand up against him. God is so powerfully on him, is in him, that he looks like an angel. And it's through the work of the Holy Spirit he actually gets to see God in heaven. And he sees Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father. Well, these are incredible events that happened in the church at that time. The Holy Spirit was poured out. These men preached with boldness and conviction. They did amazing miracles, and the people were astounded at what they saw and did. There were thousands upon thousands of people who believed the gospel day after day. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, they had these hearts that were filled with love. They were overflowing with love for each other and for the others around them. They didn't worry about the suffering because they could see their way through it. They had joy. They sang together when they were in prison. Well, you hear about that, brothers and sisters, and you think to yourself, man, it would have been really special if you could have lived back then. It would have been amazing to see the Holy Spirit poured out on these people, see thousands of people converted in a single day. And then, you know, it's important to realize that the work of the Spirit is not limited just to the time of Pentecost. It's not as if Christ has stopped pouring out his Holy Spirit after that time. We're told in the rest of the scripture that the same thing continues. When the Apostle Paul, some years later, is preaching the gospel, he tells us how the Holy Spirit enabled him to do that with power and with conviction. 1 Timothy 2 verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. His preaching was a demonstration of the Spirit. It came with power. And it's really striking because elsewhere in Scripture we're told that wasn't normal for Paul. It's in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 10, we're told that his bodily presence was weak and that his speech was of no account. If you met Paul on the street, you would have just kind of passed him by. You had a normal conversation together with him, and he wouldn't have struck you as being anything special. But it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that the man, he spoke powerfully. He convicted many people. He was able to lead many to faith. Then the Spirit goes to work in many people. He enables us to understand the preaching. And when you first hear, it's not automatic. It's not as if you hear and you immediately believe and you immediately respond to that in faith. This is only done through the work of God, the Holy Spirit. You all know the passage in 1 Corinthians 2. It's verse 12 there. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he's not able to understand them because they're spiritually discerned. Well, it's the very same thing for us today as well, brothers and sisters. It's not in our nature to seek God, to want to have a relationship with him. Our nature is hostile to God. When we first hear of God, it's not natural for us to believe in him and to expect our help from him. No, it's natural to push back and to resist him. We read together from Romans 8. It's in Romans 8, verse 7 and 8. It says, "For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God." So Paul is saying, by nature, our normal way of being is that we want to satisfy our sinful desires. And when we do that, we live in rebellion against God. But the good news of the first verses of Romans 8 is that God tells us that he sets us free in Christ Jesus from sin and death by the powerful working of the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, but amazing things happen to you too. When the Spirit makes you alive in Christ, then you share, you believe in Christ, and you share in his death and resurrection. Then you receive the forgiveness of your sins. Then he recreates you. And literally, Jesus Christ is alive within you. You're not dead in sin. You're not living in rebellion against God. You don't hate God. You don't do your own thing. But the Spirit changes you. And he makes you into this new person. He makes you alive in Christ. Paul spells it out a few verses earlier. It's back in verses 5 and 6 of Romans 8. "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace." Now, if you set your mind on flesh, then there's no end of suffering, of brokenness, of death. The things of the flesh, things like money or lust or alcohol or the need of approval or anger or desire for revenge, if you live in that way, then you're hostile to God. Sometimes it even happens that sin dominates you. When you're in that place, one of the great things that God sometimes does for you is that he reveals himself to you. The Holy Spirit is someone who's come into this world in order to convict us. And he convicts us of sin, of righteousness, and of condemnation. It's in John 15. When you're in your sin, then the Holy Spirit reveals that to you. And he grabs a hold of you. And he shows you your sin. And you get to see life for what it is. Sometimes it's through a lot of pain. Sometimes you live that life of sin. And then you experience a lot of pain and brokenness. And it's in that moment that you realize your sin and you realize the brokenness that comes of it. And the Spirit gives that to you. And he convicts you of righteousness. It's his work to reveal Jesus Christ to you. It says you know Jesus Christ, then you know his righteousness. And you know what Christ has done on your behalf. And they have a sense of wishing to flee from sin and wishing to live for Christ. And it's the Spirit who convicts you of condemnation, of judgment, the judgment of God that's coming on this world. And it's when you understand that, you also flee from sin. And then you look to the Lord. You have this new perspective in life. It's in verse 11 of Romans 8 there. It spells it out a little more. It says, "If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." There's this new life. that begins in you, brothers and sisters. We heard about it in Acts 2, in the lives of the people around Paul and the apostles. They had the Holy Spirit. And it's through the Spirit that they believed. They're convicted of their sin. They're cut to the heart because of what they had done wrong. And they asked how they should change. And it's through the Spirit that they were motivated to love God and to love the people around them. And that led them to sharing their goods and to looking after each other to make sure that it went well for each one of them. The Holy Spirit, He enables us to set our minds on the things of God. What are those things? Well, it's the righteousness of Christ. It's the glory of God. It's beautiful things like justice and righteousness and grace and mercy and kindness and faithfulness and all the other fruit of the Spirit. Sometimes you meet people, they have a deep sense that they have a deep presence of the Spirit within them. There's all sorts of things that may have happened in their lives. There may even be all sorts of things that are happening to them right now. But they can deal with it. They can rise above it. They can see their way through it. They have the joy of the apostles that the apostles had when they were in prison. They have the peace of heart that many of those men had. And they have it through the gift of God's Spirit. Well, it's the great gift that the Lord loves to give to us, brothers and sisters. And on top of that, in verse 16 of Romans 8, it talks there about another gift of the Spirit. It says that the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. When you believe in God, when the Spirit lives in your heart, it gives you this deep down assurance that God loves you, that you belong to Him, that you are His child, and that you have an eternity together with Him in store for you. It's one of the profound gifts of the Spirit of God. He gives life and He gives peace. Do you understand how rich you are through the Spirit, brothers and sisters? Understand that it's through the Spirit that God convicts you of sin. God reveals Himself to you. That God allows you to live in a relationship with Him. The Holy Spirit gives you new life so that you're no longer stuck in sin. That literally you become a new person. You have this new power that is within you. He assures you deep in your heart that you are one of God's children, that God does love you for Jesus' sake. He gives you peace. He gives you joy. There's a deep down sense of comfort and assurance. It's a little later in Romans 8 that Paul says that the normal part of the life of a Christian is that there's going to be suffering. You are going to suffer if you believe in Jesus. But then the Spirit, he carries you through that. It was back in Romans 5, the Apostle Paul talks about that. He says, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Sometimes you go through really difficult periods of your life. Periods where you suffer a lot, and you struggle a lot. It's in those moments that God is powerfully at work in you. He's changing you. He's changing your character. He's enabling you to persevere under trial. And it says, as He carries you through that, that you understand the love of God. And then His Holy Spirit, He resides in you. And He equips you to have joy. Therefore, we rejoice, Paul says. He equips you to have joy in the midst of the suffering that you endure. The Lord loves you a great deal, brothers and sisters. He often tells you in His Word how dear you are to Him. He knows it's our nature to give sin a place in our lives and to get stuck in it. But he sent his Son to rescue you and to redeem you. And Christ wants you to share in his riches. And so he promises to send you his Holy Spirit in your heart. And it's really quite striking this morning. We heard of the calling to admonish, to encourage, to comfort each other. We go back to John 15. It's in John 15, verse 16. There the word, parakaleo, is actually applied to the Holy Spirit. The way God accomplishes this all is through the paraclete, through the helper. The helper who will comfort you. The helper who will encourage you. The helper who will admonish you. Jesus Christ gives you his Spirit so that he can carry you into glory. You're not on your own. You don't have to do it by yourself. You can ask God for his Spirit, and it's his great joy to give the paraclete to you so that you can live in this kind of relationship with God and that you can experience his life within you. You know that what it means for us, brothers and sisters, is it means that one of the most important things we need to do is that we need to pray for the gift of the Spirit. You know, often we put a lot of emphasis on reading the Word. When your elders meet with you, they're going to ask you that question, how's it really going for you in your devotions? That's because the Spirit uses the Word. That's the means he uses to effect change within us. It's the means he uses to draw us near to God. But along with the Word, we ought always to pray for the gift of the Spirit. That we ask the Spirit to live in our hearts so that he would convict us, that he would change us, that he would comfort us, and that he would give us his life. And along with that, there's also we have to be very careful that we don't grieve the Spirit. You know, you can do that. Sometimes it happens. So 1 Thessalonians 5:19, the Lord calls his people there. He says, do not quench the Spirit. Or in Ephesians 4, verse 30, he says there, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. God comes in you with his Holy Spirit. He lives in you. And he says, don't grieve me. Don't offend me by the things that you do. And if you look to the passage like Ephesians 4, if you look to the context there around verse 30, then it talks about all sorts of different things that people sometimes do that are really sinful before God. If you lie, do not lie, he says. Put falsehood far away from you. Or a little later in the passage, he says, don't steal, but work faithfully, doing your work. That no corrupting words come out of your mouth, but only what's helpful for others and building them up. A little later, let all bitterness and wrath and clamor and anger and slander be put away from you along with all malice. God's saying it grieves him when you fight with each other, when you get angry. So he says, don't grieve the Spirit of God. The Lord, he wishes to live with you. He wishes to be your God and to carry you and to comfort you. And so the calling of Scripture, brothers and sisters, is to ask God for his Spirit. That comes with a great promise. The Lord promises, Psalm 145, verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. If you call on him, he will be near to you. He will come into you. Or in James 4, verse 4, a similar thought, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So as you seek his face, as you draw near to him, as you seek his Spirit, then he will draw near to you. He will come into you, and he will live in your heart, and he will strengthen you, and he will support you. Well, imagine if we all did this, brothers and sisters. Imagine if as a church that we regularly pray to God for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Imagine if we personally, on a daily basis, we pray to God for the gift of his Holy Spirit. Imagine if we prayed for the proclamation of the gospel, that we pray that God's word would go out with boldness, with clarity, with conviction, so that we and many other people may hear the good news of who Jesus Christ is. And imagine we prayed that the Spirit would use that to convict people and to change people and to make them into new people. Imagine if you're able to have peace in the midst of suffering, if you're able to have joy in the midst of all the hard things in life. Imagine if you're able to rise above the difficulties that you face and that you have a deep sense of the kindness and the grace of God. If you have a deep assurance that you are His child and He does love you. But we do it already, brothers and sisters. We do pray to God and we do ask Him for His Spirit. But let's do it more and more. Let's make that our prayer. That's the only way that we can fulfill the calling of this morning. The calling to love each other deeply from the heart. And the calling to have unity as the Church of Christ. It's the only way that we can have the good life. If you want the good life, then you need the Spirit. He is the author of life. And He's the one who gives peace and joy. Well, let's pray to God. And let's do it with good hope. Because it's God's greatest desire to give His Spirit to you. He tells you about that. He tells you about how He does give it to you. Before you leave this service, you're going to receive the benediction, the blessing. You're going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say to you, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You will receive the Holy Spirit. Let's thank the Lord and let's seek Him more and more. Amen. Let's now sing to the praise of the Spirit, hymn 48, the verses 1, 3, and 4. Let's now call upon the Lord in thanksgiving and prayer. I'm going to pray for a few members of our congregation again this afternoon. Our brother Ben Buchholz, he's scheduled for a medical procedure later this week, so we'll ask for a blessing over that. And also earlier this morning, our brother John Mahoney, he was taken by ambulance to the hospital. He's undergoing testing right now, so we haven't heard what exactly it is, but we'll also bring him before God's throne of grace. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to die on the cross and to rescue us from our sins. Lord Jesus, we praise you that you accomplished the work that you set out to do, that you rose again, that you ascended to heaven, and that you are seated at the right hand of God with power and authority. We thank and praise you, Father and Son, that you sent your Holy Spirit into this world in order to convict us of sin, in order to change our hearts, to make us understand that you are God, and to help us, to enable us to seek your face and to rely upon your grace. Holy Spirit, we praise you that you have come to us, that you live in our hearts, that you change us, that you give us the life of Jesus, you make us alive in Christ, you give us the peace of our Lord Jesus. We thank and praise you that you give us joy, that our hearts are filled with joy because of what Christ has done for us, that you equip and enable us to live at peace, in contentment, in gratitude, that we have hope for the future. We pray, Father, that you would continue your work in our hearts with your Holy Spirit. We ask that you would powerfully pour out your Spirit on us so that each one of us individually may grow closer to you, that we may be convicted of sin, that we may put sinful things away from us, that you would also assist us so that we're enabled to believe in Jesus Christ and to share in his righteousness more and more and to experience his life within us. Father, we pray for a blessing over the preaching. We ask that your word goes out with conviction and with boldness, that your people understand it, and that many others may come to faith in you. We pray, Father, that you raise up men who are willing to preach the gospel. We ask that you work in their hearts, that they may be filled with your Spirit, and with the gift of your Spirit, that they have a burning desire within them, a fire within them, that needs to proclaim the good news of who you are and what you have done. We pray, Father, that you would bless the work that's being done at the seminary, that men may be trained in the gospel, that they may seek your face, that they may proclaim your grace, and that the churches may be built up through this preaching. But we are grateful that you will accomplish the work you set out to do. Please help us to be faithful in the tasks you have given us. Lord God in heaven, we also bring before you this afternoon our brother Ben Buchholt. We ask that you bless the procedure that he receives this week, that it may go well for him, to enable the doctors to ensure that it goes well. And please bless the recovery for him as well. Please also give him and to give to his family the peace of the Lord Jesus. Lord, it's when we experience medical attention that oftentimes we realize how vulnerable we are, how much we need your help. And so we pray that you would give peace and rest to our brother and to his family. We also pray for Brother John Mahoney, Lord. We ask that you, again, bless the work of the doctors so that they're able to find out what's going on with our brother and that they're able to assist him. Lord, please also give comfort to him and to his wife, to their family. We're so grateful, Lord, for the faith that he has in you as well. We pray that you would help him more and more to live out of that faith. Father in heaven, we pray for the other members of our church as well who are under doctor's care. There's so many who need assistance in different ways, and we ask for your blessing over that. And then, Lord, we also wish to pray for your church around this world. I want to ask that you would please continue to gather your people, especially in the Western world, Lord. There is an increasing animosity against your church, against your truth, against your people. We ask, Lord, that you would keep us faithful, that we may hold on to the truth of the scriptures, that we would also be willing to testify about that. Help us to be a salt in this world, to speak up for your truth and for your glory and for your righteousness. Father, thank you that we may have peace and freedom here. We pray that may yet continue for a long time. We also wish to ask you, Father, for a blessing here in our state. We are grateful, Lord, for the decisions that are being made by our governments in caring for us. We pray that they may make many more good decisions, Lord, I ask that you would give them your spirit as well, that they may look to you, that they can rely upon you, that they can listen to good advice, and that it may go well for us here in WA. Also within our nation, Lord, please help our elected representatives. There's a lot of decisions that need to be made about how to live, how to manage things in the future. We pray for your help and blessing. And also as a society, Father, we entrust our society before your throne of grace. More and more, we live in a time where people are polarized, where they have differing opinions, and they're not willing to listen to others. And they live in these echo chambers where they only listen to people who have similar viewpoints. In the end, that has led, and it does lead to a certain breakdown in communion and fellowship as a society. Father, we ask that you help us with that, that you give us humility, that you give us the grace to listen to others, that as a society we have the opportunity to learn from one another and to help and bless each other. Please grant that we can also lead the way in this as your people, that we can show something of the love of Christ in our dealings with us, even with our opponents. And Father, we also pray for your blessing over the coming week. We ask that you be near to each one of us in the work that we have to do. Thank you for jobs. Thank you for all the different tasks that you've given to us. We pray that we may be faithful in fulfilling these things. We also wish to ask you, Lord, that you would give us a blessed Sunday for the rest. We can have good times of rest and fellowship, and that we have energy for our new week as well. Please accept our thanks for your many good gifts. Please hear our prayer, because we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, after the Lord Jesus Christ was about to, after he rose from the dead, and he's about to ascend into heaven, that he sent his disciples to preach the gospel. He gave them what we know as the well-famous words, the Great Commission: all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. This afternoon, you have the possibility of supporting the work of mission. Collections that you give will be supporting the work of mission in PNG. You can give that either here or else electronically. And then after the collection, we're going to sing together from hymn 47, the verses 2, 3, and 5. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and go home in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.